Starting the podcast recording here. We've got the live stream on Kelsey's camera. We're just doing everything we can to reach as many as possible with the gospel. It's interesting, as I look at the demographics on these sources of media, we have on the podcast, we have a group from Frankfurt, Germany that joins in. We have several people from all over Europe that join in on the live stream. The podcast has some folks in Australia and New Zealand that join in. It's amazing to me through this medium that God has given us how this little church in Shepherd, Texas can reach out to so many folks with the message of the gospel. Amen. And so to all of those people tuned in to all the different media, welcome. We're glad you're with us this morning. So this morning, my message is not lengthy, and everyone who's wanting to get to lunch says, yes.
Amen.
But the point, I think, is that there's not a lot of fluff in today's message. This is something that I think is very important that we hear as the body of Christ. And that's who we are, the church, the body of Christ. And I always like to say we are the body of Christ in motion in this community. Because all that we do, all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, everything that we do should be projected out from this sanctuary, this holy place, into our community to bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I'm coming to you from the epistle for today, which is the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. And I remind you that anything Paul wrote to a church back in his day is also directed at the church of the present day, right here in Shepherd, Texas. So I'm starting at verse 27. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues." And then he asks some questions. He says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret tongues? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So what's Paul telling us? He's saying, you are Christ's body. That's who you are. And he's telling us, don't ever forget that you are the body of Christ. Because it's only as you accept your part in the body that your part has any meaning at all to anyone. Now, we're all familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in His church, which is His body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, those who pray in tongues, those who interpret tongues. It's obvious, by now it should be obvious, that Christ's church is a complete body. It's not one big unidimensional part. It's not all apostle. It's not all prophet. It's not all miracle workers. It's not all healers. It's not all people who pray in tongues. And it's certainly not all people who are interpreters of tongues. And yet you will find, even here in Shepherd, Texas, you will find churches that are so focused on one part of the body to the neglect of all the others. Paul's saying, I have a better way. It's an interesting passage of Scripture for a couple of reasons that stand out to me here this morning. The first one is, it's clear that there is in fact, hear me now, but don't get ahead of me, there is in fact a hierarchy of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says. And God has appointed in the church, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistant, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues, etc., etc. See, it's clear that Paul is telling us that we should strive for the greater gifts. What are the greater gifts? The greater gifts are those that focus on spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is why those three gifts that he begins with, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers. Those three are emphasized in the hierarchy as being the first three. Now, that's not in a competitive sense where we want to climb the ladder of spiritual success, so to speak. It's not what the gifts are about. It's not about making me or you or any of us as individuals look holier than the rest or more spiritual than the rest. It's not a competition. That's not what the gifts are about. No, they are not. But rather, the gifts of the Spirit are about edifying the body of Christ for the benefit of those around us. We each have gifts given to us by the Spirit for the benefit of those around us and those we serve in our church and in our community. That's the reason for them. If we look at just the first three gifts in the hierarchy of gifts, apostles, or what I like to say, the apostolic function of the church, and prophets, or what I like to call the prophetic voice of the church, and then the third one, teachers, or the edifying mission of the church, which is to do what? It's to preach and to teach and to evangelize. If we look at those three gifts, we see that those gifts in particular deal with the advancement of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. All of us, in that sense, should do our part to strive to make use of these, what Paul calls, greater gifts to make Christ known in the world. So, what does that all mean? Well, if we look at Ephesians 4, there's a reason why these specific gifts are seen as important in the hierarchy of spiritual gifts. Listen to what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus about these gifts. He says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, that's us, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature people to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's really great, Pastor. What does that mean? See, the hierarchy of spiritual gifts places emphasis on those particular gifts because those gifts specifically prepare the way for the Holy Spirit to move, to bring souls to Christ, and it will continue to be that way until everyone that will believe knows Christ. These are the gifts that pave the way for his return. And so, as I said earlier, there's a couple of reasons why this passage from 1 Corinthians is interesting to us. The second reason is that it's also clear to me that when we strive for these greater gifts, then there is revealed to us by everyone in the body, a more excellent way of spreading the gospel message. Do you know what that more excellent way is? I bet you do. Love. Love is the more excellent way. The more excellent way to be apostolic, the more excellent way to be prophetic, the more excellent way to be evangelistic, the more excellent way to be pastor and teacher is through love of your fellow human being. It's a love made possible by God, who is love. That's scriptural. God is love. See, Paul speaks about this better way in the next chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, where he talks about this more excellent way. It's kind of a guidebook for us as we strive for these greater gifts to spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a guidebook on how we can be more effective in all of our gifts. Listen to what he says. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all of my possessions, and if I hand over my body to be burned as a martyr so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, some versions say, when the fullness of time arrives, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. So what he's telling us here in these two chapters, because we have to take these two chapters together, no matter what the lectionary tells us to do, these are designed to be read and practiced as one passage, because all the rest of the gifts mean zero, zilch, nada, unless we practice them with love. So we are to strive for the greater gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're to pursue them. We're to use them, but with love. Each spiritual gift of every individual member of the body of Christ here in this body of Christ in motion in Shepherd. Each spiritual gift united in our diversity, striving together to know Christ and to make Christ known. This is our sacred calling as the people of God. This is our purpose as the church. This is why you are given spiritual gifts so that you can use them for the benefit of those who need that relationship with Jesus Christ. Did you know you had a sacred calling? Think about that. Think about those words. Let them sink in. You have a sacred calling by God Himself as a member of the body of Christ to know Christ and to make Christ known to the community out there enjoying their Sunday morning on the couch with their bowl of Cheerios, watching whatever TV program is in front of them instead of being here worshiping God. That's not a condemnation. That's just the fact that there are folks out there that don't have the same relationship with Jesus Christ that you do. And they need Him, even if they don't know they need Him. Because He is coming again. And so we have this sacred calling as the people of God to be hands, feet, and voice of Jesus in the world. This is what it means to be Christian. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ. This is your appointed task. This is mandated by Jesus Himself. And so, as we join together as the body of Christ, let's do it in a spirit of joy. Let's do it in a spirit of we can get this done because we are equipped by God Himself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our next hymn is Abide With Me.